The following is a message from the pulpit of Parkside Baptist Church in Mesquite, Texas, led by Pastor Mike Wells.
That's great. Thank you, ladies. And that's Mrs. Watkins and her daughters, and that is super. Take your Bible and go back, if you will, and go to Genesis 50 and verse 20, if you will, where the Bible says, "But as for me, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good to bring to pass, as it is this day, he said, to save much people alive." All right, so you know all that took place, the betrayal, if you will, of his brothers to him, being put in a pit, being sold, if you would, into bondage, being that which becomes the house servant in Potiphar's house, to being that which is thrown into jail, to rising to being second in command under Pharaoh, and the brothers coming back. This is the end of the story. But can you imagine all the travail that went on in Joseph's heart? Can you imagine all the trials that he went through to be able to understand exactly what God was doing in his life? Here is a verse that's written at the end of the story. Here is a verse that's written, and he understands that though all these evil things did betide him, all these evil things did come against him, that God was allowing him, listen to me now, that God was allowing him the privilege. We don't often look at it that way, but it's true. That God is allowing him the privilege to be able to go through these horrific circumstances, to be able to save much people alive. Sometimes here's what we do. We get caught up in our disturbances. We get caught up in our trials. We get caught up in our circumstances. We get caught up, if you will, in our personal tribulations that we go through. And if you're not careful, what you'll do is you'll let those things get your attention rather than learning the valuable lessons that God has for you so that later on God could use you at a greater magnitude. I want to talk to you tonight about how God uses trouble in your life, yea, my life, for good. I'm going to give you some reasons that trouble does come. I'm going to show you how trouble can help you. I hope you'll leave the service tonight saying, "Wow, I can't wait for trouble to come my way." Kind of doubt if you will. Please don't go out looking for trouble. It's funny, years ago, Curtis Hudson was pastor in Decatur, Georgia, and he was building a great soul-winning church. It became the largest and the fastest fundamental independent Baptist soul-winning church in the Atlanta, Georgia area. Man, they were reaching everyone, all kinds of people, all kinds of backgrounds, and things of that nature. And so one night he was really getting with it. He was preaching a house of fire, and he was saying, you know, all these liquor stores, wicked, evil, dirty, somebody ought to burn them down. He had a guy sitting in the back, a new church member, newly saved, probably was a few fries short of a happy meal, and he was sitting in the back. And he heard the pastor say, "Somebody ought to burn them down." So he decided to go on a fire-burning rampage. So he started going through the Atlanta, Georgia area, finding all the bars. And he lit fire to 5 bars that night. Finally, the police stopped him, arrested him, took him down to the jail, said, "Why did you do that? Why did you do that?" He said, "Because my pastor told me to." Hope you don't get out of the sermon tonight to go do any type of destructive type of stuff, okay? Let me give you some things that trouble will help in your life to do, okay? By the way, we're all going to face it. There's going to be a day in your life when you face some financial difficulties. It's called trouble. There's going to be some days in your life when you face some relationship challenges. What's that called? Trouble. It's going to be some times in your life when you and your wife, you and your husband, you disagree sharply. What's that called? Trouble. It's going to be some times when your mother-in-law shows up uninvited, stays for a month and a half. What's that called? It's called moving out. It's going to be some times when, honestly, going to be family difficulties, going to be problems, going to be challenges, okay? Oh, what do you do with that? Some people, here's what they'll do. They'll sit down, suck their thumb, say, man, woe is me. They'll sing that song, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, I'm going to go eat worms. They'll do all sorts of stuff. Maybe that's not the correct way to say it, but they'll do all sorts of stuff, okay? But what do you do when trouble comes your way? Let me help you out a little bit, okay? Statement number one, I'm going to give you several statements tonight. Not a lengthy message, but a helpful one. Statement number one, trouble builds your faith. Trouble builds your faith. Here's what the Bible says. I always like for us to use the Bible. Amen. The Bible says over in the book of Romans chapter 1 and verse 17, the Bible says, therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. As it is written, the just shall live by faith. All right, so where is righteousness revealed? It's revealed from faith to faith. Now, you can read that any way you want to, but you can also see this as God gives five levels of faith in your Bible. As you'll read in your Bible, there is a time of no faith. There's a time of faith. There's a time of little faith. There's a time of much faith. And there's a time of the greatest or greater faith. And you have levels or degrees of faith that the disciples and other faced in the Bible. And God gives us those levels of faith. Now, can I tell you, you would go from one faith to another faith relatively quickly. Relatively quickly. I know people that all of a sudden they're praying with great faith. Talk to that same person 10 minutes later and they're praying in great doubt. I know some people have a great desire to please God. Great desire to do anything God wants, anytime, any place, no limitations, no shortening of God, holding God's hands in captivity. They say, man, I'll go anywhere, I surrender all. Talk to that same person maybe a couple days after that, they're not willing to go anywhere. See, many times we will go from one level of faith to another level of faith relatively quickly. And by the way, that happens in all of your lives. Happens in all your lives. One day, you're on fire for God, next day you're not. One day you're excited about God, next day you're not. That's why the Christian should live by Bible principles and by character, not by feelings. If you're trusting your feelings to make a decision, you're going to be like this all the days of your life. You're going to be way up, way down, way up, way down. You ate peanut butter tonight, way down. You ate steak last night, way up. Hello? Had your favorite drink, way up. Had a drink that didn't taste too good, way down. Got a raise at work, way up. Got fired, way down. Found a girlfriend, she left you. Found another, she left you. Saw somebody, she didn't look at you. All right, you cannot go by your emotions. Emotions will, I'm telling you, emotions will mislead you. Okay, so you cannot go by that. But the Bible teaches in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and in verse 7, the Bible says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. Now, what is faith? A preacher once said, faith is the acrostics, forsaking all, I trust him. So faith is when you put your total trust in one that is greater than you are. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, by the way, you have to be careful that you don't ruin your children's faith. You have to be careful you don't ruin your spouse's faith. There was a man by the name of Samuel Clemens. Many years ago, of course, he was the ghostwriter name that he used was Mark Twain. Mark Twain was very much in deep content to Christianity. He could not stand Christianity. He fell in love with a girl. She was a Christian. Her name was Olivia. Fell in love with the girl by the name of Olivia. They got married. She had a very strong faith. He kept talking down her faith, down her faith, down her faith, down her faith so much that she stopped going to church. He always made fun of her when she went to church. And so finally, because he kept downing it and downing it and downing it and downing it, she said, forget it. She walked away from her faith. They had a little baby. The baby one day collapsed and died. Mark Twain looked at his wife and said, hoping to be able to encourage her, looked at his wife and said, well, I'll tell you what, why don't you lean upon your faith? Here's what she said, I can't because I have nothing left. You can destroy somebody else's faith. Now, can I tell you, a trouble, if it's done right, can build your faith. If you have a godly mom and dad, all of a sudden now, when you go through troubled times, they help you to look to the Lord. If you have a godly spouse, when you go through troubled times, they help you to look towards the Lord. You have a godly Sunday school teacher, when you go through troublesome times, they'll help you look towards the Lord. You have a godly parent, you have a godly friend, you have a godly in-law, you have somebody, if you will, that's godly. Here's what they're going to do when all of a sudden troublesome times come. They're not going to try to get you to look at them. They're going to try and get you to look to the Lord. So trouble builds your faith. Statement number one. Statement number two. Trouble develops patience. Trouble develops patience. James chapter 1 and verse 3, the Bible says, count it all joy. So when trouble comes, what do? It helps you develop patience. The Bible says in James chapter 1 and verse 4, the Bible says, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect way. The Bible says, or perfect work. It says that it may be perfect. By the way, the word perfect there simply means mature. The Bible says, and entire, wanting nothing. All right, so what does that which trouble does? It helps us to be patient. Okay, two ways you can respond. You're sitting in a red light, you want to go, and nobody is. And by the way, that happens often around here. We had Brother Raspberry do a great job in preaching in our college chapel this past Friday. And he got up and he said that the Dallas-Fort Worth metro area now has over 7 million people. You know what that means? That means a lot of cars. You know what that means? That means a lot of stoppage time on the freeway. That's what it means, okay? Now, can I tell you, you can do two things when all of a sudden you get stopped on the freeway. You can lay on your horn. You can put your fist in the air. You can roll down your window and shout out nasty now and nows. Or you could just be what the Christian should, be patient. Be patient. Look at the opportunity. Wow, I get to pray more. Well, I get to think of my wife more. I get to think of my husband. Hey, you can pull out a to-do list and start to write down your to-do list, things you need to do when you finally reach your office, when you finally reach home, when you finally reach your destination. You could carry your prayer list with you on a 3x5 card, maybe your iPad, something like that, and pull it out while you're sitting there, not while you're driving. Man, the other day I was driving down the road, I kid you not, I saw somebody driving a car and they had their iPad affixed to their steering wheel. I'm thinking, whoa, man, that's dangerous. You know, you got your iPad affixed to your steer. I don't know what he was doing. Maybe he had a mirror, he was trying to fix his hair or something. I don't know. Okay, I'm saying this. I'm saying that trouble develops patience. John Newton was a very wicked, immoral man. John Newton got converted. He was on a ship that was heading from England to Africa, came across a great storm. He cried out for mercy, asked God to save him. When God saved him a couple years later, after being trained, he went into the pastorate in England. John Newton is the one that wrote the song that you love so much, Amazing Grace. Now, at the end of his life, John Newton looked back at his life, and here's what he wrote in his personal diary. He said, oh, for the grace that met me on that evening of that ship. I'm very thankful that I became a Christian. I've decided in my heart that I will always profess Christ, no matter what difficulty I come through. A character by patience, jealousy, if you would please, and hatred shall never by the grace of God take hold of me, because my great hope is in peace and joy. Now, wait a minute. And so what takes place is here's a man that did not understand patience. Why? Wasn't saved. Can I tell you, God is the great patient one. When I receive Jesus Christ as my Savior, then I can pick up some of the very attributes that God presents to me through the tool that he gave me called the Bible and his Son, Jesus Christ, and yea, the Holy Spirit now abides that within. Okay, and so I'm saying this, you know, trouble develops patience. Now don't pray for it. Because when you pray for patience, you're praying, dear God, love you, give me trouble. You understand your Bible. Dear God, I need patience. He said, well, the way to get patience is I'm going to send you trouble. God, I'm not patient enough. Send me more. I'm not praying that, Lord. God, send me more. God, send me more. God, make me a more patient person. God says, I've got the antidote for that. I'm going to send you trouble just because you asked for it. Now, don't do that. Don't do that, okay? I'm saying this. God, in His Word, tells us, however, that trouble builds your faith. Statement number two, trouble develops your patience. Statement number three, trouble builds compassion for others. When you go through troublesome time, for the first a couple years of my life, had an acute blood problem, and I had to take some shots, and then later on it went from the shots to eating, liver. What, liver? Yeah, liver. I had to eat liver. Had a choice. I could eat it for breakfast, lunch, or supper. Had to have it every day. Every day. Man, what a way to live. And so, but I had that acute blood problem, and it went from the shots to the liver to all this other stuff, and I had to be very, very careful. Now, can I tell you this? Can I tell you that when you go through troublesome times, can I tell you it builds compassion towards others? When you go through rough times, it helps you to be more compassionate to others that's going through rough times. Over in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 8, the Bible says, finally, says, be all of one mind, having compassion, one, it says, of another. So he says, when you're going through troublesome times, he said, have a mind, be of the same mind, you have compassion one to another. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 2, it says, bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. So what am I supposed to do? I'm supposed to look for people that have a burden, and I'm supposed to help them bear it. Now, God did not say I'm supposed to take it away, because their burden is what they need to make them stronger. If I take it away, they'll never become strong. So they need their burden. Nowhere in the Bible does the Bible say take it away. But the Bible does say to bear. To bear. Okay? So Brother Craig comes along. He's got this heavy burden on his back. Brother Craig comes along. He's got this heavy burden on his back. On his back, he's got this heavy burden. It's weighting him down. So what I do is I come along and I say, look, I can help you to bear your burden. Now, I don't take it from him. The Bible says you're supposed to take up, if you'll read it contextually, the Bible says you're supposed to take up your cross and bear it. So I'm not supposed to take his cross away and put it on me and bear his cross. What I am supposed to do when I see that he's heavy laden, I'm supposed to help him to bear his cross. Now, I stand up, Brother Palmore. The easiest way to help him to bear his cross, stay with me now, is to point him to that which is God himself, that can make his yoke easy. God himself that can help him. I can only help him a little bit. And by the way, I'm just a man. So I can't be there all the time. You're just a man. You're just a lady. You cannot be there all the time. Now thank God you're there for people when you can be. But understand, if you're a husband and you've got heavy burdens, and you're a wife and you got heavy burdens, you're a child and you have heavy burdens, you're a businessman and you have heavy burdens, you're a friend and you have heavy burdens, don't get mad at your friend because they can't be there all the time for you. Don't get mad at your wife because she can't be there all the time for you. Understand that God has created you to run to God. That's what He's created you to do. Now, I'm saying this, thank you, be seated. Trouble builds your faith. Trouble develops your patience. Trouble builds compassion for others. There was a man by the name of William Booth. William Booth lived in London, England area. He had a great desire to help what they called back in those days the undesirables. He had a big desire to help the drunkards, those that were morphine addicts, and there was a bunch of morphine addicts that lived in that day in the London, England area. He had a burden to help the prostitutes. He had a burden to help those that were poor. He set out to help them, and he started some Salvation Armies, and when he did that, there was three S's. He said, I'll offer you three things when you come. Number one, I'll offer you soup, soap, and salvation. Three S's, the soup, the soap, and the salvation. Thousands of people came. He established salvation armies all over the place, and thousands of people came, and they were rescued, and they were cleaned up, not on just the inside, but also on the outside. He was now in his 80s. He was almost going completely blind. His son had risen up, Bramwell, and was taking him around. Bramwell had overtaken most of the ministry, and he was taking his daddy around. And he said to his dad, he said, Dad, don't you think you ought to take a rest? And you're now in your 80s, you've given it everything you've got. And William Booth said this, he said, God is the one that knows best. God is the one that knows best. He said, I've done the best that I could with people and with God, serving them with my eyes. Now I'm going to do the best I can for God and for people without my eyes. He did not use his blindness as an excuse not to serve Jesus Christ. And how many times do I get around people and they use everything as an excuse? Well, I can't come to church because I got a runny nose. I can't come to church because I stubbed my toe. I can't come to church because of this, because of that. I can't come to church because I fell down and I can't get up. I can't come to church. Okay, now I'm saying this. Hey, listen, if a man like a William Booth could serve God in his 80s and he lost his sight, hey, you can serve God too. Amen. I'm saying that trouble, when exercised right, will build your faith. It will develop your patience. It will build compassion. It'll build humility. You know, when everything goes right, we can be proud. You ready? I saw a girl. I was preaching in a youth camp many years ago. Youth conference. I was preaching. She's sitting on the front row, and I know she kept crying. She kept crying. And by the way, she had scars. She kept crying, and you know, I got done preaching the conference. Last night came. Got done preaching the conference, she stopped me and she said this. She said, you know, I used to be very faithful to God. I used to serve God with everything I had. She said, then I got bitter towards God because I hang out with the wrong kids. Watch this. Hung out with the wrong kids. Watch this. Hung out with the wrong kids, got in an accident, and I lost my beauty. She said, because I lost my beauty, nobody wanted to be around me. Because nobody wanted to be around me, I just kind of sunk in the background. Here's what she said. She said, but this week I've decided not to sink back anymore. I've decided to go forward to serve God. She's a missionary now in Nigeria, serving God full-time on the mission field, loving God, giving in everything she's had to give. And can I tell you, she's glad about that. I was with Mark Maddox. Mark Maddox came on our trip. He's in Alabama. When I was an evangelist, I was out door knocking one day and came to this house, huge house, nice porch, but had dogs running through it and stuff like that. And so it kind of reminds you of Travis's house now. And so here we are, and I knocked on the door, and Dad was not receptive to me at all. I went over, started to talk to Mom, and Mom was a little bit chilly, and so I asked the parents if I could talk to their daughter. She was about age 10 at the time, and so talked to the daughter, led her to Christ. Just a little 10-year-old kid. Never would have thought anything more about it. Walked her down the aisle. She got baptized. And I think later on her mom got saved, something like that. But anyway, she got baptized. She grew up as a teenager, came faithful to Sunday school, came faithful. Mom wasn't there, Dad, but she was faithful. She was there all the time. And so she grew up, she grew up, she grew up. The home got worse. I mean, Dad started drinking. He got thrown in jail. Mom started carousing around. Mom was never there, chasing boys. Stuff. I mean, it just got worse. Just got worse. Finally, one of the members of the church said, why don't you just come live with us? Went over and lived with them, grew up, went to Hollis Anderson College, graduated. Now she's 24, teaching in the Christian school and loving God. Now, can I tell you, listen, you know, sometimes you will go through some things and it causes humility to come in. Hudson Taylor, he was a great missionary to China, the inlands of China, saw thousands and thousands of Chinese come to know Christ as Savior. And he was an adamant soul winner. I mean, just was somebody that loved to get out the gospel. And one day, some ladies over in Shanghai said, we need to discuss some things about him. Don't you think he gets proud? Don't you think he gets proud? I mean, look how God has used him. Don't you think he would be lifted up with pride? One of the ladies said, well, I don't know. Let's go ask his wife, Maria. So these two ladies went in to ask Maria. She said, good question. I don't know if he gets proud or not. I'll ask him. So Hudson Taylor's wife, Maria, went in and said, these two ladies from Shanghai asked a question. I don't know what to tell them. I don't know your heart. Can you tell me, do you ever get proud about how God has used you? Here's what Hudson Taylor's answer, his response was this. I never knew that God did anything through me. He was oblivious to the fact he was just doing the normal. So he didn't see that God was using him in a marvelous way. He was not on the outside looking in. He was on the inside looking out. And can I tell you, as long as you're serving, as long as you give it everything you got, it will keep you from being proud. When all of a sudden you start walking around clipping coupons. Hey, I'm saying this. I'm saying we understand this, that trouble develops humility. Statement number next. Trouble teaches us forgiveness. Trouble teaches us forgiveness. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32. Bible says this. It says, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 8, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Years ago, there was a church over in Sweden, and there was a man that decided he did not like his Sunday school. So he decided he was going to put arsenic in the coffee. Here's the reason that he said he didn't like Sunday school. He said, nobody in my Sunday school class likes me. I'm going to get even. And so that particular morning, he went in. He was the man in charge of the coffee. He put arsenic in the coffee. Everybody came in. This was an older class. And they were coffee sippers, not coffee drinkers. So he put arsenic in all the coffee, including his. The only problem was he was a coffee drinker, not a coffee sipper. And so everybody else is just kind of sipping it. They're not feeling good. They're getting sick. And man, he didn't want to have to go to prison. He didn't want to have to face the electric chair. And so he thought, it's working. Everybody's getting sick. So he drank two cups. Died just like that. Everybody else got well. He died. He died. Can I tell you, it never pays to try and get even. Somebody mistreats you, forgive them. It's better than drinking arsenic. Somebody mistreats you, somebody is mean to you, smile. Smile. By the way, can I tell you, hurting people always hurt people. Hurting people always hurt people. But if somebody hurts you, then you don't have to hurt back. You take that to the Lord. Because the Lord is the one that can help you. Don't walk in the flesh. Bible says the arm of the flesh shall fail you. Don't walk in the flesh. When somebody's mean to you, just think, if you got what you deserve tonight, I'm not being mean to you, just being honest, but if you got what you deserve tonight, you'd be burning in hell. Yeah. Right. So anything other than going to hell and burning forever is a bonus. Yeah. Well, they gave me a cupcake with no icing. Hey, thank God for the cupcake. Yeah. Well, they bought me a toy for Christmas. It's not what I wanted. Thank God they thought of you. Yeah. Hello? Well, man, you know, we've got a car that doesn't have air conditioning. Thank God you have a car. Well, we have a house and the electric bill is too high. Hey, thank God you have a bill. That's hard, isn't it? You're going to extreme now, preacher. I tell you what, all my friends left me but one. Thank God you have one. I got a job and it's too hard. Thank God you have a job. See, you can always find things to be thankful for if you want. Well, I wish I had so-and-so's parents. I'm stuck with the ones I've got. You better thank God for that because so-and-so's parents don't want you. While you're saying, I wish I had so-and-so parents, they're walking down the hallway looking at you and saying, I thank God I don't have you. I'm saying this. I'm saying, look, understand this. Understand that God wants us to be forgiving people. So what does he do? When trouble comes. I was talking to a man the other day, and he was in the hospital, and I said, how you doing? He said, I'm right with God. I said, that's great. I said, did it take the hospital to make you right with God? He said, you want the honest truth? I said, no, lie. Of course I want the truth. I said, did it take the hospital to get you right with God? He said, yes. I said, why weren't you right with God? He said, because in my heart, and he named the people in this church, he said, in my heart, I had bitterness towards this one, and towards this one, and towards this one. Three. You say, are they sitting here tonight? Give me $5 and I'll tell you. Now, wait a minute. But it took the hospital to help this person get right with God. Now, what's it going to take in your life? See, you have to understand that trouble teaches us to forgive. It teaches us to forgive. Brother Hiles used to say many years ago when he was alive, of course, he said, when you're complaining because you don't have any shoes, find somebody that doesn't have any feet. They won't be complaining. Your old age is a terrible thing. It is. Older you get, the less you hear things that are accurate. Can't begin to tell you, I was tired on the Philippine thing, and some of the young people that went with me, I mean, sharp as a tack, God bless them. But they would tell me one thing, and I was hearing something slightly different. And I look at them and say, really? And they say, you didn't hear me. You know, I'm saying this. I'm saying that trouble teaches us forgiveness. Statement number next. You ready? Trouble, only one more after this. Trouble directs our eyes toward heaven. Trouble directs our eyes towards heaven. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 7 and 8. Here's what the Bible says. The Bible says, and to you who are troubled, he says, rest with us. He said, okay, for those of you out there that's in trouble, he said, there's a way to find rest. Here's what he said. He says, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus says, shall be revealed from heaven with his mighty angels, it says, and a flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and that obey not the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? So he said this. He said, understand that no matter what you're going through, eventually heaven is going to be your gain. That's going to be, he said, take rest with us. Understand. Think about people in heaven right now walking the street of gold while we're fighting over it on earth. Think about people in heaven walking by the walls of jasper. Think about people in heaven walking through one of those 12 gates of pearl. Think about people in heaven, no more sickness, no more pain, no more trouble. Okay? All right? When my mom was the first one in my immediate family that went home to be with the Lord, age 54, and when mom died, went to the funeral, and my brothers was there, and a couple of my uncles and whatnot, and they looked at me, and they said, why are you not crying? Why are you not crying? I said, because I know where she is. I know exactly where she is. And by the way, mom was sick for a long time. I knew she was going to die. When my older brother died, age 57, I didn't know he was that bad. We had communicated, but every time I talked to Dave on the phone, hey, Dave, how you doing? I'm doing great. Doing great. Anything I can do for you? No, I'm fine. I'm fine. I didn't know that he was dying the whole time. I didn't know. I just didn't have a clue. I knew he was sick, but I didn't know he was dying. So, Dave, how's the family? Hey, they're doing great, man. I'm so blessed. I just didn't have a clue. Then all of a sudden, he died and went to heaven. Now, when you go through different troubles in your life, can I tell you, stay with me, almost done, you'll respond differently. You'll respond differently. And depending on how deeply you love somebody is how differently perhaps you'll respond. Or if it's a shock, or if it's something you expected. I live in Forney. I know this. If I get on 80 to come into the church, normally about a 25-minute drive without traffic. But if I get on 80 to come to the church, it's going to be an hour. It's going to be an hour, okay? If I get on 20 to come to the church, I'll be 20 minutes, maybe 25 minutes, that's it. Okay, depending on the day. Now, can I tell you, I can decide whether I want to be in traffic or not ahead of time. All right, here we go. I'm almost done. Got one more point. We're going to go. Here it is. When you come to church, you can decide how you want to be ahead of time. You can. You can decide, man, I'm going to get something out of it. It's going to be good. Woo! Or you can come to church and say, man, I'll tell you what, I'm so tired tonight. I'm just so tired. Hope preacher's not long. Then you'll snuggle down, you know, maybe prop your feet up, take your shoes off. You get real comfortable. Now, when you took your shoes off, nobody else is comfortable. Because the whole time they're looking around. Wonder what that smell is. I wonder who died and went to heaven. Okay? But you got comfortable. You got comfortable. Okay? Wait a minute. But you predetermine. You predetermine. I love studying the Bible. When I get in the Bible, you listen to me though, if I'm tired though, studying the Bible, can I tell you, I don't enjoy it as much. But when I'm fresh and I'm studying the Bible, I'm not tired. You know, I had that community coffee. Everything's, okay. Can I tell you, I'm getting more out of the coffee. When I've had community coffee and I got my Bible open, I'm getting more out of the coffee. That's what I'm doing. That's what I'm doing. Okay? But, hey, I'm getting more out of the Bible. You know, because my attention span is sharper. It's just sharper. Now, I don't know if it comes with age. Ask Brother Kazar. He could tell you. Not really sure. But, you know, the older I get and the more stress that's upon my life, sometimes I'll have to take just brief recesses. Call it a power nap. Call it a walk in the park. You know, call it gliding from an air, whatever. But I'll have to take some brief recesses. I have to change up what I'm doing. Now, to keep my mind sharp, when I'm dictating letters, I'm walking back and forth. Mrs. Hernandez, I'm not going to walk 18,000 steps, but I'm going to walk back and forth, okay? But why? Because I'm trying to keep my mind focused. I'm trying to keep it focused, okay? Now, I'm saying this. I'm saying we have to understand that when trouble does come, you ought to direct your eyes towards heaven, towards heaven. Heaven's sweet. Heaven's sweet. I was in a gas station the other day. I passed out a track. You can always tell when I go down to QT, all those little plastic things that they have there. Man, while it's pumping, I'm going in, I'm putting these things in the plastic things, you know? And one time somebody came out, and they said, what are you doing? I said, watch. I said, is one of the guys at work there. And he says, well, I don't know if you should be doing that. I said, oh, that I should. It's important. And he said, oh, okay. I thought, wow. So in the gas station, I went up. My car was about 3 over, and the gas was running. I'm so glad they have those automatic cutoffs. If those things ever fail to work, I'm in trouble. I was over about three islands over, you know, and I was putting a couple of the plastic things in. Man said, hey, that's neat. Can I have one of those? I said, absolutely. He said, what is that all about? What are you selling? I said, I'm not selling anything, giving it away. He said, really? What's it about? I said, right here, look, church. See the boy in the front? I said, if you come to our church, people's going to kiss you. I said, no, I'm kidding. But I would tell you this, it is a place you will feel loved. You ever been to church before, sir, where you feel loved? He said, No, not really. I said, man, you ought to come sometime. Hey, more important than that. And I started, he said, I really don't have time for that, but I will read it. I will read it. Now, I don't know if he read it or not, but he got it. But he got it. You know, you would be amazed if you would. If you help people, they can point their eyes to heaven. Now, I love that, just to point the eyes to heaven. Let me give you a last thought, and I'm done. Here it is. Trouble makes the Word of God sweet. The Bible says, taste of the Lord and see that He is good. You have to taste of Him. I love, every so often, the Bonta gals will invite me over. They have that Filipino background. And man, can I tell you, they can flat cook. I love it. I love it. Sit around the table and just eat and eat and eat. You say, what about your diet? I eat and eat and eat. Fly to the Philippines and they always cook the food for us. First time I ever went to the Philippines and started tasting the food, I tasted just a little bit. And that's the way people do with the Word of God sometimes. They'll taste a little bit when they're in trouble. That's where some of you started coming to Parkside. You started coming to Parkside Baptist Church because you came, you checked it out, you tasted. You came, you checked it out, you tasted. You came, and you said, man, I got something out of that. Yeah. That was pretty good. Got something out. I like the way that tastes. Well, I like that. Well, and it helped you a little bit here, helped you a little bit there, helped you get some wisdom in your life, helped you to make right decisions. All right. The Bible says over in Psalm 119, verse 165, great peace have they which love thy law, nothing shall offend them. All right, the Word of God becomes sweet. Word of God becomes sweet. Okay, here you go. Closing illustration. For the butler, you can help me with this one. He is my trouble. He's it. He's my trouble. He's the trouble in my life. Now watch this. I can go up to Him, and He's my trouble. If I do, depending on how I feel that very moment, I may respond to Him differently. But if I take my trouble and I view it through the Word of God, I see Him differently. You know why some people get bitter towards God? Let me tell you why some people get bitter towards God. Normally, it's because they're not in this book right here. In their private time, they're not in this book. And when trouble comes, they don't see it through the book. They see it without the book. And when you do that, you're going to respond fleshly every time. Because if you're not in the book, there's no other recourse. You are flesh. So you will respond like flesh. So all of a sudden here, I just got saved, don't know much about the book, not been in the book. He comes to me, He's trouble, He pushes me. I'm going to get a response back to Him. I'm going to give a response back to Him. Okay, here we go. Watch this. I get in the book just a little bit. He pushes me. I stay in the book longer. See, I'm telling you, you're doing yourself a great favor having your children in church. Amen. You're doing yourself a great favor having yourself in church. The more you're in church, the more you view things from God's perspective. Amen. Okay, I see people all over the world. Come on, when I travel and I see them acting like idiots, I'm talking about full-blown idiots. And I'm thinking, wow, I can't believe they did that. Then I remember it's because they don't have the right view. They don't have the right view, okay? And so all of a sudden now, he pushes me. He pushes me. What am I going to do? Blessed are those that are persecuted for righteousness' sake. I get happy. He pushes me. He just pushes me again. And by the way, so what do? I give him a gift. And he says, wow, I got a gift out of that. I got rewarded for pushing him. I think I'll push him more. Normally, that's not the way it works. The Bible says a man's gift, thank you, maketh room for him. So all of a sudden now somebody pushes you, okay, what do? You buy them something, you love them, you pray for them, you give yourself more to them, You encourage them. You help them. You don't talk about them. You don't bash them. You love them all. By the way, that's called Christianity. Okay, so you're in the car with somebody and their car needs cleaning. Instead of complaining about it, why don't you say, hey, I tell you what, I like to be a blessing. Why don't you give me the keys to your car tomorrow? I just want to be a blessing. I want to surprise you. Hey, get the keys to the car, take it off and clean it. So, man, that could get expensive. It earns friends. There's a Bible way to this. You remember the Christians? All of a sudden they're walking down the road, maybe the road to Damascus, maybe the road into Jerusalem. And so they're walking down the road. As they're walking down the road, a Roman would stop them and say, carry my bag. By law, 1 mile. By grace, 2. God said through his son, he said, if they bade you to carry it 1 mile, carry it 2. Carry it 2. See, grace supersedes the law. Grace goes above the law. You see the law, tithing. I know people that give 20, 25%. You know why? They've learned to give, and they do it according to how good God has been to them and through grace. Now, can I tell you, it is so very important that we understand that you can take and you can help people according proportionally to the grace that you have. All right? So when trouble comes, there's many things that it teaches. Hey, let's decide tonight. Here's what we're going to do. Don't pray for it. Don't say, God, man, I need more patience. No. But when trouble does come, there's some things you can put in your life that will make you a better person. Nobody ought to get your goat. You have a goat. Nobody ought to get your temper the flare. An angry man, the Bible teaches, is a man without walls. Okay? Nobody ought to get your temper the flare. The more that you're yielded to God, the more God can work in you and through you.
Thank you for joining us today. For more audio or video content, you can visit our website at parksidebaptist.org.